It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Yes, we are still here. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. Our guests, Keith Liberty and John Gleeha, talking about the mortgage debacle. What's going on out there? Are they just scaring us when there could be a very easy solution? Couldn't the government just tell us all to take our mortgages and go turn them in and end this depression almost instantly? Because I don't see any way that the depression that we're in now can end. You know, when people say there's a recovery, they think it's going to happen next week. And, folks, it cannot happen, and here's why, and this will make sense to you, is because you cannot have a jobless recovery. Until people are working again, they won't have money to spend money in the economy to stimulate transactions. And that's what gets you out of depressions and keeps an economy healthy is transactions. It's when money is moving in commerce. And that's so critically important to our economy. And yet they keep us here in the midst of a depression because certainly they know exactly what's going on. And it is disheartening when you see administration after administration that will print up money, none like this one, but they're printing up money that just basically is representative of mortgages on other properties. And it reminds me of that old Jefferson quote when he's talking about our children. If we create a central bank, which we did, if we're going to end up one day where the children of the people who fought and died for this country will wake up homeless and on the street at the hands of the bankers. And that's just so ominous that we thought, well, maybe it's a little bit of those fancy pants and their tight little knickers there talking, maybe in extreme language. But it turns out it's not extreme. It is here. It's happening right now. And that's the scary part. And it goes deeper, folks. It's not just your mortgage. You've heard the term bankster, and I resisted it. I thought it was cute. But by golly, they sure do seem like a bunch of well-dressed thieves. What do you think, Keith?
Well, you're exactly right, because one thing you just mentioned was how to get out of depression. You can't do it without jobs. And you can't do it trying to pay off $700 trillion that does not exist in debt. It's a Ponzi scheme. In fact, that $700 trillion is 14,000 times bigger than Bernie Madoff in its effect. And it's, again, the whole world economy is only $50 trillion annually. You can't pay off $700 trillion. And here's another figure that goes along with what you're saying. He's talked about just canceling all these mortgages, at least, like John said, we don't cancel private debt, but we cancel this Federal Reserve fractional banking debt that's false. Had we done that, our government has given $24 trillion to those middlemen that are taking your houses in the last 9 months. Yet to cancel all the fractional reserve mortgages in this country, my understanding is only $9.5 trillion. So I've been better to say all these mortgages are invalid for all these violations of law and everything else than to give those stinking banks $24 trillion and let us keep paying and let them keep taking our houses in a jobless depression.
Wow, you know, and it's so amazing because I would think of the 13 banks of the central bank, it would be better to sacrifice them even if it meant they would be going down or being insolvent. It would be better to sacrifice those 13 banks than 300 million Americans.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back taking your calls right after the break. We'll look forward to it, so get your dial-in numbers ready. First one in gets the call. We'll see you in just a moment, folks. West behind. Sing and shout that Georgia's always on my mind.
Oh, come on!
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Well, good morning, folks. It's not Ernest Hancock. It's Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on the Declare Your Independence show. We've got Keith Liberty and John Gleeha. We're talking about mortgages. We're going to take this segment and talk a little bit about the credit card, I think, because it's pretty much the same thing. But I wanted to make sure that we had time to flesh that out. And then we've got some callers. So be ready, Mark in Montana. We'll be with you in just a couple of moments. Keith, John, any comments on credit card debt?
Yeah, credit card debt is a little bit different. There's a different process there, and the banks think that they don't need contracts. So it's different than mortgages because the Achilles heel for mortgages is there has to be a note, you know, paper instrument, signed contract, this sort of thing. Courts will allow a bank to get a judgment without a signed contract. So that creates another dynamic in dealing with that type of collection.
Well, when you say not a signed contract, is that like, don't they take the signature from the application that you get in the mail all the time? Isn't that the contract?
Well, there's the majority of the credit card agreements, there's no signed agreement. And let's say that, let's say if we sign an agreement, let's say you go to a bank and you sign a contract for a credit card agreement, the contract is going to change every month as a matter of law, just because every time they send you a bill, that's new terms. A new bill is new terms. But you know how they send you annually new terms, right? We know
yes.
At least they change annually. So do you sign off on those? No. Everything's done by notice.
So it's a one-sided deal? There's no negotiation if you're the other party?
It's all one-sided. It's called an adhesion contract, and that's what the courts will tell you. And they'll just say, if they sent you a bill and you didn't pay, then you owe. That's how the courts operate.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I like these guys saying, well, our records show... And I know I've said to a couple of them, say, well, what happens if somebody says to you, well, my records show something else? Whose records get to win?
Well, I'll tell you how they decide that. It goes under what they'll say is, well, you didn't dispute as to your records under the Fair Credit Billing Act. So they try to funnel your defense into one little aspect of the law, which basically says, if you don't dispute the account for an unauthorized purchase, then you owe it. In other words, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, I like that. They give you 60 days, I think, at least at some point. It used to be the time limit that you could dispute. I don't even know if it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use credit anymore. I'm pretty well done there. But, Keith, what do you got to say about the credit cards?
Well, John's exactly right. The promissory note exchange, and John's way more an expert on credit cards than I am. I know John teaches you how to protect your assets, so when they go after you and protect your wages, and I think his stuff is outstanding. In fact, I'd give your website again, John, on that. The whole thing is a fraud, and if we don't denounce fractional reserve debt and keep our personal debts, we're not going to have a free enterprise society anymore.
Well, I wish we had more time to discuss the fractional reserve, because if people understood, like Henry Ford said, if people understood in America how money works, there'd be a revolution by morning. That sounds pretty exigent to me.
Yes, it is. It's time to wake up to that fact.
Well, yeah, let's see what the folks say out there in listener land. We're going to go to Mark in Montana. Mark, are you with us, sir?
How you doing?
Very good, thanks. What do you think of the show?
Excellent. I've been studying this subject for quite a while now. And, in fact, in front of me I have quite a few documents that show exactly what you're saying. This country's bankrupt. We have a de facto government. Basically, as far as I can tell, none of the laws they've made since way back when are lawful. They may be legal, but they're not lawful, according to the Constitution. When they did that bankruptcy, I read that in 1933, the U.S. Secretary of Treasury received no compensation for representing the United States. He actually represents it, but he works for international banks.
Wow.
The IMF, I think, is specifically, and that would be UN.
Yeah, that chain goes all the way up and to the UN and over to the Central Bank of England. And man alive, I wish we had more time. Do you have a specific question for John or Keith?
One question I wanted to ask, and it does have to do with that whole bankrupt and de facto deal. I'm helping a friend with a mortgage and with ideas with her mortgage and credit cards, getting rid of them. One of the questions is, since the Secretary of Treasury no longer has authority, according to the Constitution and from Congress at all, nothing he signs is worth a dime, correct?
I'm going to leave that to you, John.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about that. If you're talking about, you know, collections and how that relates to collections, I'm not sure that's going to help, that knowledge. If it's true or not, it's going to help. I don't really understand that.
Well, I'm pretty positive that IRS agents do not carry enforcement authority anymore. That was gone with that bankruptcy. And if you look at their badges or cards, there's a code to them. And the E is for enforcement, and they don't carry that anymore. It's I believe it's an A at the end of that code. They cannot enforce IRS supposed laws.
So that would be administrative, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that the Treasurer of the United States and the Secretary of Treasury are two absolute different things.
They are.
And one is private, and I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. What many people don't understand, there are two United Stateses.
Yeah.
One is the United States of America, which is a constitutional republic, and the other is the United States. It's a corporate entity.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what's bankrupt, is the corporate entity.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people don't get it, because there's a United States, and then there's America.
Exactly.
And there is no country called the United States. There's only a corporation. And so that's why they try to sneakle it in there with the words to try to make it look like there is. And it seems like it's got to be a concerted effort. This can't happen by accident.
No, no.
Once
and to sign onto those contracts, you become a United States corporate citizen.
Right.
Well, begs the question. If it's bankrupt, it begs the question, who's the trustee?
Exactly.
Ooh.
And for whose benefit are they operating?
There's an article public notice, for the BATF IRS criminal fraud, Grand Jury Formation Committee of America. Now, it's out of East Helena, Montana, and it's 1995 is the date, and it's a very interesting notice. We go through it, and you can probably find it online pretty easy.
Well, can you give us the gist of it real quick, and we're going to get to Danielle.
I think basically, it's a note and challenge to reader, the story behind the fraud. Of the Internal Revenue, so on. Of course, this all connects to the banks and everything, as far as I can see. Let's see. Oh, authority to collect, authority to investigate, no authority to audit, delegation of authority, that type of thing. I'll
look
this through here. And there's quite a few codes to go to look at, and a lot of information. Very good.
Well, fantastic. We sure appreciate your contribution. Thank you, Mark.
Sure. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Same.
Let's go to Danielle over in Georgia.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Hello, guys. Thank you for spreading your word and your knowledge. I'm so grateful that you guys are on and telling us about a lot of things. My question is, I'm wanting to become to own a home, but I don't know what route to go through. I want to get a mortgage, but since I'm finding out about all this information, I don't know, like, where to turn to. So I'm just wondering if you can provide me with information on how to.
Great question. Thank you very much. John?
This is so amazing how the first thought is, where can I get a mortgage? I mean, where do I stand in line to do this? it's a matter of first, if you want a home, find the property that you want.
Okay.
And then negotiate the deal. But that is limited by your knowledge.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can respond to that.
I'd like to play the devil's advocate on this one. Basically, the mortgage system sucks. Excuse my language. as we talked about. But in this same situation, if you can go buy a house today in today's depression for 20 cents on the dollar somewhere, let's say, okay, over here in Arizona, you can buy a $300,000 house out in Queen Creek for $60,000. Well, your payment's only about $500-$600 a month.
Yeah.
Well, if you can buy something like that, your payment is fixed for 30 years. When this hyperinflation comes from all this $24 trillion they gave in this last 9 months, pretty soon we'll be like Germany in 1922, where they had wheelbarrows of cash to buy a loaf of bread. Well, if you could take $500 a month, and all the renters are going to be going up with inflation, and the people that can really buy a cheap house and stick with it, I think are going to be way better off economically 5-10 years from now if they're super careful.
And if you're going to buy one, why not buy three from what you just said?
Exactly.
So we'll still have to be... I still have to do like a mortgage, right? Or no, I'd go like another route.
That or owner financing or something. Go ahead, John.
Well, owner financing, I always look to the seller as my first financing source.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, always do that. And there's many ways of doing it, but the lease option is probably the most common. In Georgia, it's like the poster child for real estate investors. I mean, you've got networks upon networks of people that know all this stuff.
Okay, great.
You probably
Thank
know
you
people
so much.
Already. Sure, I would just hook up with some of them and they'll help you.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here. What would stop our good friend Danielle from going out and buying a house with a regular mortgage and then 6 months later turning it back in to get her home free and clear? Now, what would stop somebody from doing that?
If you can go through underwriting and you can get a bank to say, okay, you've qualified for underwriting, let's do the closing. And if you get your closing documents 2 days before the closing from the title company, and execute the note and record it and bring the note back to the title company, they'll deliver it to the bank and you'll close with no mortgage.
Wow.
Wow. Danielle, you got to tell us what happened.
Okay, I will.
Okay, I hear the bumper music coming in. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be back afterwards. Danielle, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And we are back, getting some real good stuff on into the archives so that people have the benefit of being able to listen to this conversation for years and years and years to come. And it's really exciting when you hear all the people and I have the calls, the number of calls that are coming in. So we're just gonna keep going with the calls. Is that okay, John and Keith?
Absolutely.
Excellent. All righty, let's go to Richard in Alabama. Richard, are you on with us, sir?
I'm here. Yes, greetings, gentlemen. Hey, I got a question. I've walked into the conversation. This is a question that I have. It has to do with homesteading. First of all, when I purchased my house in 2002, I think I got it about 6.85%. But anyway, I went to a federal credit union. And when I was approved for the loan, come to find out they transferred it to Chase Manhattan, which is kind of like the they're the ones that kind of created the whole monster of a mess in the first place. But anyway, I went to the county courthouse at closing at the closing attorney, and they encouraged me to go to the county courthouse and submit that I guess paperwork, and they apparently you put it in for homesteading. So do you know anything about that and the procedure that I went through, and can you explain it?
John?
I think homestead creates a statutory exemption, or it qualifies you for a statutory exemption, which protects the equity of the property from third-party creditors. It doesn't really have much relation to the lender. I don't know why they did that.
Mm. And any reason why a federal credit union would sell the loan to Chase Manhattan?
Of course, that's an easy answer. The answer to that is profit. Why else would they do anything?
And securitization. It's securitized loan. It's garbage. In fact, go ahead.
And you don't even have any choice of, you don't even have any decision on who they sell it to, right?
No, but you can challenge the real party of interest here. In fact, I'm going to give you some inspiration. Anyone's listening in, and including you, Richard, get on www.superiorcourt.maricopa.gov. That's superiorcourt.maricopa.gov. And look up a case. It's a civil case called CV 2008-092175. I'm going to read that again, CV 2008-092175. This guy took on a securitized mortgage just as you're speaking about, and he says, you people are not the real party of interest. GMAC Mortgage, Deutsche Bank, and all of you are not. And so when you take on that point, they have no standing in court. They have no business taking your property, and that's the proper way to take on your thing, not a homestead like John was saying. That's on third-party debt. So that's one inspiration. Another one would be livinglies.wordpress.com. I'm going to say that again, livinglies.wordpress.com. And that attorney talks about all this securitization garbage. You can attack these notes, these securitized notes, on the real part of interest issue. And as a B plan, you can use Truth in Lending rescissions to get extra time out of your house. And that's what I'm doing, a lot of people are doing. They're getting extra time with a Truth in Lending rescission. I think John's doing the same thing. In fact, John, do you want to give your website again?
Yes, it's zerodebtguaranteed.com.
When's San Diego, the meeting in San Diego?
It's on September 13th and 14th. The 13th is a homeowner's one in the afternoon. It's $169 less if you register now. And the attorney one, for attorneys listening in, you can go and do this for people. And that class is, I think, $600-$700. But you can make $15,000 to $20,000 a month helping people save $200,000 a month. So attorneys that are listening, this seminar is absolutely outstanding. I can't tell you how good it is. Taught by the guy who created some of the early parts of the securitized mortgages. And he says they've taken it way out of control. They insured bad mortgages 30 times over. So when the $300,000 mortgage hit the tank, there'd be $9 million insurance. That's where AIG started insuring and Bear Stearns and all those. And that's why they went bankrupt in September, and why our government is giving them $24 trillion to stay alive when they should have went under. And there's a way to attack this.
I got a question. How can we get these guys that have pulled this big Madoff back on the 13th of October, how do we get these guys into court?
I think it's going to have to be a prosecution of the people. You know, we have to look at the founding fathers. These people have to be prosecuted, or we're not going to have an American country anymore. We're not going to have a free enterprise anymore.
Well, they need to be arrested.
And the charge would be treason.
Literally.
But who does that?
Well, I don't know if the people can initiate it, but at least a grand jury can initiate it. Who's going to convene a grand jury? You got to be able to do that. I don't know the process there, but you know the AG's office does it. So probably the U.S. Attorney's office would do it.
Well, and the people do it. There's a group online. I don't remember their name, the grandjury.com or something like that. They are doing that right now. They are indicting people.
A people's grand jury.
Yes. And it's got to be done. This is nonsense. We can't put up with this more. We can't have American life with this crap going on.
And keep in mind, when I say they should be arrested, of course you can arrest the individual people that are working there, you know, the presidents and all these guys over the Fed Reserve branches. But what you need to do is arrest or stop the Fed wire system, because that's the bank. All these electronic communications is the bank. The building they actually work in is not the bank.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that is just phenomenal. You know, when you start getting into this, it's a subject that could go on forever, but we can't. We're going to go to break. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. Our special guests today, Keith Liberty and John Gleeha, talking about mortgages and consumer debt. And we'll be back, and we'll get to Roland in Texas right after the break.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
You don't know how lucky you are, boy. Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR. Well, the delivery girls really knocked me out. Leave the West behind. And my small girls make me sing and shout. And Georgia's always on.
And we're back with Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. This is exciting, folks. We're talking with John Gleeha and Keith Liberty about mortgages and consumer debt and what you can do to defend yourself from the wild banksters.
I know that while I was listening here on the bumper, we were listening back in the USSR. My specialty in university was the Soviet Union, and I'm telling you, I've said for years that we are living in exactly that same circumstance that the people of the Soviet Union were living under. And it's just fascinating to me to see. I hope we don't collapse like they did, but if we do, we will rebuild stronger. And on that, we're going to go back to our good friend Roland over in Texas. Roland, are you with us, sir?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I have some questions here. I was wondering, I have a mortgage myself. I just had a house for 2 years. All my credit's good. I've worked hard on it. I have like 800 credit rating. But now that I've been woken up to what the bankers have done about 6 months ago, I read The Creature from Jekyll Island and all the money. I feel really disgusted I wish I would have found this out sooner. Obviously, I would have did a bunch of different strategies. My question is, now that I do have a mortgage and everything, is there any other thing I can put up, meaning is there any strategies I can use to own my house outright from this point forward, meaning any strategies or any way in which I could keep them away from my mortgage if I do default maybe 2 years from now, if I'm not able to pay my mortgage, or if I go bankrupt in some way, shape, or form from what I'm seeing from the economy?
Keith, John?
I would say there's things you can do. I'd say everyone out there that's in foreclosure right now or darn near there, you can go ahead and file rescissions. You can file qualified written requests, and you can start studying livinglies.wordpress.com. Or if you need someone to help you, if you want to do it yourself, you can go to those sites. But if you need someone to help you, get with us. Zero debt is guaranteed.com, John?
Yes, correct.
Yes. There's things you can file and postpone this thing for 3 to 9 months at least, or longer, just by filing papers right now. And then for the real hardcore banks, yes, we'll have to set you up with a lawyer or something to file a lawsuit and drag it out. There's ways to win.
Is there anything I could do even if I'm not even close to that now? I mean, if I'm not even close to bankruptcy, I've actually paid my mortgage many months in advance because I know hyperinflation is going to happen. I've also, took that extra money and bought like a lot more gold and silver than I would have.
Yes.
But I'm just worried about if I'm not able to endure this, if there's something I could do right now while my credit is good and everything to not let them even come after me in that case. Is there any forms I could file now in my county or state or the judicial system now beforehand?
Is that a refinance?
Like,
go ahead, John. Go ahead.
It sounds like you're comfortable with the deal, and it's a good time to learn. And one thing I'd recommend looking into is the structure of what you've got there. What kind of contract are you into? This is a mortgage, okay? And also do some research in negotiable instruments and bills of exchange, and look at the type of contract, which is what some people call a statute staple, typically, is the type of mortgage contract you're using. And look into that and find out what your rights and remedies are before you take any action, because I can tell you right now, if people understood this stuff, they could pay off those debts with the same money that the banks like to have, and it doesn't take any of your equity. And one other comment on paying in advance on your mortgage, you've just increased your interest rate. So you're costing yourself money. You're better off taking that cash and buying gold with it.
Good point. Good point. That's a very good point there.
Yes, I'm going to say John's stuff he's talking about, this exchange, is more advanced than what I'm doing. But temporarily, you can go ahead and file, if it's a refinance in the last 3 years, you can file a rescission notice and stuff like that to slow it down a little bit while you're learning more. And then, like I said, if you need some help, get with John on zerodebtguarantee.com and learn. Well, he's learning more about this, and we're all learning more about this exchange thing, which I think is going to be extremely powerful.
It will be. And there's a couple issues. One is on the mortgage, and you're not near foreclosure, but the issue of the mortgage is that it attaches to the title. And what they're trying to do is get to what they would do in a foreclosure if it comes is they're trying to get ownership of the title, stripping you of it, of your interest. And then they would want to take possession of the property. So there's two issues. One is the title. One is the property, the possession of it. So if you can establish that you're in lawful possession of the property, it doesn't matter if they ever cloud the title or foreclose on the title. They would never be able to take possession. This is what a lot of people don't understand. There's two aspects to it.
Right. I mean, no, that totally makes sense to me. Now I'm just going to go back and research what principles I need to fight those two issues.
Yes.
And you have plenty of time to research now.
Yes. Truth in Lending is a B plan. Real Party of Interest is an A. And then beyond that is what John's working on, and that's this promissory note exchange.
Okay. Thank you guys very much.
You bet.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, what's really amazing is that there are alternatives. There are things that we can do to protect ourselves and to alleviate ourselves of the problems that we've gotten into. And we've gotten into them not because of anything other than we trusted people who are supposed to be in authority. In the old days, you used to be able to trust your lawyer. You used to be able to trust your banker. Now it's they become an adversary on the other side of the desk.
Yes, the abusive parent, and they're not even our parents.
And they're clinging so hard to hang on to it. You know, what I was kind of interested, because Roland was mentioning he had prepaid his mortgage, apparently, for several months. And with this inflation coming in, if we do go into hyperinflation, that means he spent big dollars when he could have spent little tiny dollars.
Well, I've done the same thing he's done. Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead. No, you're right.
Yeah. But it doesn't make any more sense anymore, though, with the inflation that's coming up.
Well, yeah, and it's such a discouragement to people to even save money right now. They wonder why Americans don't save money. Well, it's because our dollar, if you save it, it becomes worth less as time goes on. And if you earned $10 an hour last year and you only worked 1 hour and stuffed your $10 bill under the mattress, well, what it would buy last year, it is a whole lot more than what it will buy right now.
Pure theft.
So it discourages anybody from saving money. Roland was pretty smart, though. I'm writing a column that indicates that gold is and always has been the de facto currency standard.
Whether you have another caller?
Okay, whether they say it is or not. We certainly, everything is compared to gold, no matter what. And gold will never make you money. It will never increase value. What it will do is preserve value so you don't lose it to inflation. So you win. I mean, you put your money in a bank and get 3% interest, and I'm being really generous, but in this day and age. But then you've had 6% inflation in real numbers, in real terms. You just lost money. And that's what people don't seem to quite get, is what Ron Paul was saying, that inflation, the hidden tax, is the most critical that we're all facing. But we do have another caller on the line. I want to get to as many callers as possible. So we'll go right ahead.
Gary,
and
Gary, Illinois.
The name?
Gary.
Oh, okay. We're going to go to Gary in Illinois. Gary, are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am.
Excellent.
Yes, so my question is I've been hearing some reading reports here and there that I don't know if it's a bill in Congress that's been implemented yet or it's been introduced yet, but there's certainly been some talk going about how the current administration may try to seize our 401ks or at least implement a new tax scheme that would essentially nullify the advantage is that we currently enjoy with having 401ks, our own IRAs. And I'm wanting to know, you know, first of all, if you've heard anything to that effect and if there is any substance to that, whether it would be a wise idea at this point to close out those accounts, even though that would mean, you know, taking the penalties at this time.
Wow, there's a good question, but I will caution you that you're asking actual legal advice or investment advice that might be mistaken if we could answer that question directly. And so I hope you'll appreciate that.
Okay.
Nobody's going to answer it directly.
Yes.
For you, but let's have John and Keith take a go at it. We'll start with John.
Thank you, and I'll answer directly. There's no money changing hands here, so the 401k, whether or not it's at risk, I don't know about that, but it is something that it could be. It's all created by statute, and, of course, as we know, they just pretty much make it up as they go, the Congress, so that could be something that's worth taking. A 10% penalty is nothing when you compare it against the rate of inflation, so the quicker you liquidate, take out your cash of your 401k, the better it is for you. And, of course, if you took all that money out, paid your 10%, and put it into gold, like I've been telling people over the years, they'd be making money every year. So that would be definitely something to consider.
I concur with John. I would just add one thing, and that is when you have contracts with entities that are not faithful, like these banks and stuff are, I would rather get rid of the two contracts. If you have a mortgage and you have a 401k, why not pay that mortgage off now or do the stuff that we're doing rather than have two contracts? When one contract goes bad, you still owe the other one. And so I completely agree with John on that.
Well, it all goes back to a culture of fear. Nobody knows what's going to happen. They don't know if their pension is going to be there. I have seen people out here in Sun City. For instance, I had one man who had retired at a relatively young age, had to fight to get into Sun City. You have to be 55 to live there. And he told me last year he was making, or the year before last, he was making like $8,500 a month off of his investments. And now he was looking for part-time work, was how we've met up again. And I was talking to him, and it had gone down. He was making less than $1,800 a month now because of the hit that his portfolios took. And this is representative of all of, when you hear that the wealth has been lost in this nation, that we lost $4 trillion in wealth. Folks, what I'm talking about is your money. It's the money you've worked so hard for and saved. It has just vaporized. It is gone. It ain't coming back. So if you're relying on that to retire, like a reporter friend of mine, he was going to retire last year, and now he can't, and he had a little hassle with his the employer in that case, which was, there were some shenanigans going on. They didn't like that he actually told the truth in his reporting, and we enjoyed him, but now he's forcibly retired. His 401k took at least a 50% hit. It becomes a very scary situation when people try to rely on it, and they get a little full of themselves, like this country has been in the last several years, when we saw everybody had to have a brand new car, had to have the latest, greatest. And so it was like a frenzy where people were out buying cars every year just because their neighbor thought they should have spinny wheels on it. Boy, isn't that coming back around to get those people who went out and bought the Hummers with their $200 Phillips? John, Keith?
Yeah, I think that's obvious.
Yeah,
it's gone crazy. I think we'll see the day in the very near future when you'll be able to pick up a Hummer for, $20.
Well, I think part of the cause of this, like the San Diego guy that teaches that class, he says that money was chasing signatures for, like, what John was talking about earlier, the promissory notes and all that. So they were people don't know what economy they're in, so they react in the economy they are. Like in 2005, they were reacting, and all of a sudden they changed the rules, the economic rules and the legal rules. And everyone's left with Hummers they can't use or can't afford, and it's a free enterprise should not be up and down like this. It should be gradual, and it's a fraud upon us.
Well, when the Federal Reserve was brought in, remember that the promise of the Federal Reserve was they would stop any volatility in the economics markets. That was their whole charge. But since then, we've had at least 8 recessions and I think 4 depressions, technically. Depends, of course, everybody keeps changing the definitions, and they hate the word depression because that's just too scary. But deep recession, well, that's okay. And the real bottom line is we're in a depression, and we're not going to get out of it until we get the productivity and the mechanizations back up in this country and bring back manufacturing. We need to build something. We've got to bring something of value to the international marketplace, and we're just not doing it right now. I mean, we've got state governments who are, and this is really kind of funny, they are subcontracting the phone services out to India and Pakistan, where they'll work for pennies a day, and our own government, in other words, is financing the sweatshops that they tell us they want to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
It's the scariest thing in the world, because these people, there is no such thing as a political party anymore, except for, and I'm going to be a little shameless panderer here, except for the Libertarian Party, which at least has a philosophy that is definable, that you understand. It is simple, it is equal, and it is fair. But the question, well, I used to like to start my speeches by saying I think that it's ironic that 4 years ago we had to explain what a libertarian was, while today the deeper question remains, what the hell is a Republican or a Democrat? We don't even know. And so we hold our faith out for these politicians who usually do bad things we disapprove of. We've got a sheriff out here, for instance, and he's well known. And he does some really nasty things as a matter of course. But every once in a while, he'll come up with a shining example of where he was the good guy. He did the right thing. And people are torn in their allegiances. Do we like him or do we hate him? He broke the Constitution repeatedly, but here's one example where he did something good. Well, what do you do if you're the average citizen and either you don't have all the information or you have the wrong information or you have just a little dinky bit of just a slice of saying, yeah, toughest sheriff in America, yay team. But boy, oh boy, if they saw what was going on behind the scenes that we see here because we're very close up to it, and we look, we bother to actually look. Man, it's just so scary. But when we talk about consumer finances, the two fellows that we have on here with us, Keith Liberty and John Gleha, they are phenomenal people, and they're actually helping our brothers and sisters in this community we call America. As we go into the break, I'm going to remind you, we're going to have time for maybe one last caller. So get your dialing fingers ready, 1-800-313-9443. Please give a call into the show. Declare your independence. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock. And we just want to make sure you get all of the information. So feel free to contact these fellows after the show on your own. They've given their information, and we'll give it again in the final segment as we come back after this break. Thanks, folks.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Oh, constant sorrow. Well, there you have it, folks. We are back for the final segment here of Ernest Hancock's Declare Your Independence with me, your host, Barry Hess, sitting in. We've got our guests, Keith Liberty and John Gleha, who are, I'm going to ask them one more time to very quickly give your contact information, because, folks, this is a show you want to go back and listen to in the archive. You're going to want to contact them. I want to make sure they can do that. We have a short segment. So, John, would you give us one more time your contact information, please?
Yes, the website is ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com, and the phone number is 800-477-9256.
Okay, and Keith?
Yes, you can get me at homesecure@bigstring.com. That's homesecure@bigstring.com. And like I said, for a little inspiration, get on livinglies.wordpress.com for you do-it-yourselfers. And join me. And if you're in foreclosure right now, mine was 4 days before it was going to be foreclosed a year ago, and I still have that house.
So fantastic.
You don't have to put up with it. I have 8 friends that I've done this for, helped them out, and they're all, most of them have still have their house except for one of them.
Okay, guys, we only have a couple of minutes. We're going to go to one more caller. Well, maybe two, but we're going to try Gary in California. Gary, are you with us?
Yes, I was listening to you, and you were talking about the people that are employed to do phone service in foreign countries.
Yes, sir.
And they're always crying about how they need money here, so we got to tax the people more. Of course, this goes along with clunkers. That person over there, we don't get to charge income tax on.
That's correct.
You know, so obviously this country is allowing the ability for income tax to go away, goes to another country. Oh, and it's the same thing with cash for clunkers.
Yeah, do you think that everybody should be taxed like us, or do you think we should not be taxed like them.
I like that last part better.
Amen, because I have no problem with the income tax is theft, period, point, paragraph, a bunch of people getting together, vote to take your stuff against your will. That is theft. I don't care how you slice it or how many times you tell me it's for the children.
See, the thing that's amazing about this picture here is if they're not paying taxes...
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah,
I apologize, Gary, but we're gonna come right into the bump off, but... I appreciate your point. It was well made.
Well, I'm just saying that we're having to make it up.
Well, yeah. Well, we're not making it up. They're the ones making it up. They're printing funny money. They're printing money that really doesn't have any substance, and it hadn't brought any new value to the marketplace. So it's just money that waters down the rest of the currency that's already out there.
Now, I got a call into John Kalia, one of his people, so.
Very good. Well, folks, we hope you've enjoyed the show today. I found it very stimulating and fascinating. I hope you'll listen to it on the archives. Tell your friends to do the same. Let's get that information out there. John Glia, thank you very much for joining us today. Keith Liberty, thank you very much. And to all of our callers, we really, really appreciate you joining us and taking part in the show from all over the country. This is Barry Hess signing off on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Have a great day. Have a great strong end, because we don't have weekends around here. And let's get back after it. Bye-bye now.